Good morning.
Good morning.
If I sound a little hoarse this morning, my allergies are acting up, so please bear with me. If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there's two or three announcements I want to bring special attention to. One, today is communion, and if you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please make sure you come to the inside or to the outside, because we've only got two elders today, and what we'll do is go down the aisle, either outside and come down the center, or at the center and come down the outside, one way or the other. But if you could, just go to the outside or the inside to help us as far as passing the elements out. And there's a pastor's class going on right now that if you'd like to know what we believe as far as the Presbyterian Church is concerned, feel free to come and sit in on it. And even if you're a member and you want a refresher course, come and sit in on it. You know, so. And as you know, elections of officers are coming up, and this is the last Sunday to put your nominations in. And if you don't have a nomination form, there's some downstairs as you come in on the little table. And there was some back in the foyer in the back, but I think they're gone by now. And get those in today. And also a session meeting this Friday at 2 o'clock. Don't forget that. And Clyde and Mary Cable have moved, and their new address and phone numbers in the bulletin. Be sure and update your directory at home, okay? Any other announcements? Okay, if not, would you take your bulletin, turn to the inside cover, and let's do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads,
"But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me."
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. Lord, I lift your name on high.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning just praising you and lifting your name up and asking that your presence be here with us. Lord, we ask that you be with those who couldn't be here this morning, be with those who are listening on the airwaves in the parking lot, and those that are shut in at home. Lord, we just ask that your special blessing be anointed to them this morning, and ask that help each and every one of us, Lord, to draw closer to you and open our hearts and minds and gain something from this service this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now, turn in your hymnal to number 301. 301. There is a fountain, number 301.
If you would, take your bulletin and let's do the shorter catechism question this morning. So, question 60, I'll read the question, you do the answer that's printed in bold. Is how is the Sabbath to be sanctified?
The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except that which is spent in the works of necessity and mercy.
And as we come to a time of our tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Hebrews 13:16. And it reads, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your storehouse, and we ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver, and help us as a church, Lord, to use these funds wisely to further your kingdom, here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come together in the name of our Lord, we have the great opportunity to lift up those particular needs of our congregation, but also of our community, of our state, of our nation, a time when we come before a living God and call upon his holy name. So let's bow as we come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, in this moment we bow before you and we lift up your name as a holy and as a sovereign God. And Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings, for the fact that you watch over all of Israel, that you watch over your people, that you keep us safe under your hand. And Father, we ask this morning that your hand might rest here on our congregation, on those that are seeking your face, on those that desire to draw close to you, and Lord, in the process, that you would draw close to them. Now, Father, we pray for those who are in physical difficulty this morning, for those who are suffering pain even at this time. And Lord, we ask that as our merciful great physician, that you would touch the physical bodies and that you would heal us by your hand. Lord, we remember in particular Jim Marks this morning. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit might be right there in the room with Jim, that you would be strengthening him and helping him to recover from the stroke. Lord, also for Carol, that you would give her physical strength, that you would help her during this time to be strong and to stand firm on you, on your foundation. Our Father, we pray for the others here in our congregation that are undergoing physical problems. And Lord, we ask that by your holy hand that you would touch them and that you would heal them. Lord, for those who are struggling this morning with emotional problems, with spiritual problems, Lord, we call upon you as our great God and as our almighty Father, that you would help us and encourage us to cast our anxieties onto you, whether it's anxieties over the future, anxieties over finances, anxieties over family problems. Oh, Lord, you know them all. And so we ask by your mercy that you would help us to cast all of these onto you because you care for us. Our Father, we do pray for our community, and we ask, Lord, that in this community the name of Jesus Christ might be lifted up. Lord, there is no answer to the problems that we have apart from you. And we ask that by your hand that you would help us to draw closer to you as a people and that we would spread that light to others around us, that the name of Jesus might be lifted up. Father, we pray for our nation. Lord, we know that we're a nation divided, and we see evidence of that every day. And Father, we ask that your hand might prevail in all the problems that we're facing right now, all the difficulties, that through all of this, that ultimately it would be the name of Jesus that's lifted up on high, and that all men might be drawn to you. Our Father, we recognize that we are weak. But you tell us that when we're weak, then you're strong. And we need your strength this day. We ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit even this morning as we worship you and as we remember the price that was paid for our salvation. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us into a deeper love for you and a greater love for one another. And we thank you and praise you for this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 288. 288, what sacred fountain freely springs. Please stand.
Yeah.
That is such a beautiful hymn. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in Matthew chapter 11 and reading verses 25 to 30. This is Matthew chapter 11, reading verses 25 to 30. And hear now the word of God. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. I can remember back in actually the first church that I ever pastored, and I pastored it as a student at Reformed Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was pastoring the First Presbyterian Church of Crystal Springs, Mississippi, my first opportunity to serve as a pastor. And it was a real experience, something that I really enjoyed. And one of the things I enjoyed was getting to go around and visit the different people in the congregation. And of course, it was a small community, and I could pretty much walk from the church to anyone's home that lived in the congregation. And I can remember meeting with these individuals and how special it was. You know, I always felt like it was like opening up Christmas presents under the Christmas tree, because people are so different and they always have things that are special to them. And it was always interesting to find those things out. One particular individual by the name of Gladys Breland was a member of our congregation, and I went to visit Gladys, and she opened up the door, was happy to show me her home and all the different antiques that she had gathered through the years, priceless antiques, many of them. But the one thing that she held to be most precious to her was an invitation that she had received from the White House. Now, she had it framed, and it was up on the wall in a prominent place, and it was an engraved invitation to dinner at the White House, and it was signed, not one of those stamp signs, but it was actually signed by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. And this to her was the high point of her life, that she had been invited, personally by the President, Dwight D. Eisenhower, to dinner. You know, there's something special about a written invitation, something that's very special. You know, we get invitations all the time, probably, in the mail. You know, we get invitations to dinner, to attend a financial seminar, you know, and we also get invitations to participate in car warranty, extended car warranty. We get lots of invitations. I always love the ones that say, "You have been selected," and then you look at the front and it says, "Occupant." Oh, that makes me feel special. Special. But these aren't personal. They're not personal because everybody gets them. So it's not personal. But when we're personally invited to a special function by somebody that we hold in high esteem, well, that is special. That's something that we remember. Maybe you can think back in your mind to not just being invited on the phone or whatever, but you actually received an invitation in the mail to a special function, a 50th wedding anniversary or a wedding itself. And how precious that is to know that this person thought of you. It's very special. And you know, what we see in our text this morning, basically, is Jesus giving a written invitation. And you might say, well, you know, he was sharing that with his disciples, but yes, but the Holy Spirit made sure that it was written down, that this is a written invitation. And in this invitation, he even has a very specific guest list. In some ways, it's a privileged guest list. And he also has a promise for those who respond. You know, sometimes you go to a wedding or you go to a special function and they give you a little gift as you leave. It's something to remember that moment by. Jesus sent out a written invitation and it included a special gift. I want us to look closer at that. First of all, to look at this guest list, who it was that was invited to this. And you notice when he begins speaking about this, and he says that I thank you, Father, that this has not been revealed to just anybody. It hasn't been revealed to the privileged few. He says, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding. That would be the elite. You know, those would be the special privileged ones who thought that they should always be the first to be invited. But he said, I thank you, Father, that you didn't reveal it to them. He said, instead, you revealed them to the little children. Jesus was saying, this is an invitation that's going out to those people who are lowly, to those people who are humble, to those people who are willing to lay themselves down for you. And he mentions those people. He says, first of all, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. Now, I know that you're familiar with these passages, but I want us to think about this. When he talks about all who labor, you know, he's not talking about physical labor, those people who are working hard physically and they're beaten down physically. And I'm sure that they would be included if their heart was right, but that's not who he's specifically targeting. You see, the same word that's used here for labor is the word that's used for a woman who is in labor with her child, giving birth to a child. And, of course, only half of us here can identify with that because the men don't understand what a woman goes through when she has a child. But, you know, for hour after hour, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. It's very hard, very difficult. And toward the end of that struggle, you know that woman is not somebody to be messed with. You want to leave her alone and let her go ahead and go through that process. So it's a struggle. It's a labor for her. You see, that's the word that's used here when it talks about those who labor and are heavy laden. In fact, some translations translate this as weary. That they're weary, they're tired. He also talks about those who are heavy laden. And you know, there are physically, there are burdens that we carry that weigh us down in life. Emotionally, those burdens can be even heavier than the physical burdens. Some of you are familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. And you'll remember that when Pilgrim began his journey, he had a great big pack on his back that weighed him down. And he struggled to carry that pack. And at one point, he looked over after struggling with this for a long period of time. He looked over and there was a cross in the field. And so Christian, the pilgrim, went out, walked toward that cross. And as he approached the cross and as he bent down, that burden fell off of his back. And he felt the freedom, the joy of being free from that burden. In many ways, it's exactly what Jesus is speaking about here when he talks about those who are weary and those who are heavy laden. You know, we're heavy laden with the problems that we face every day, the difficulties and the struggles. And we're all aware of what's going on today in our nation and our country, not only in our country, but around the world, and how there is oppression, how there are things that are taking place that are burdening people. People are burdened with fear of the future. They're burdened with the struggle of what's yet to come. They wonder, well, how is all this going to work out? What are we going to do here? You know, Jesus spoke about this in a parable, and this was the parable of the sower and the soils, and you can look at this, Matthew chapter 13, and in there he speaks about the different seed that's cast out. The sower casts out seed, and some of it falls on the path, on the hardened path, and the birds come down and pick it up. And then there are others that are thrown out into rock that's covered with a little bit of soil, and it springs up, but the heat of the sun burns it away. But then he talks about the third category, and those are the seeds that fell among the thorns. And this is what he says. This is Matthew 13:22. He says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This was part of what Jesus is talking about when he talks about those who are heavy laden, those who are carrying this burden, that it's so hard for them to see the glory of God, to see the forgiveness of God, to see the love of God, that they just want to quit. They just want to give up. I think I've mentioned before about an organist that we had in Charlotte before we came here. And we kept in touch with her for quite a while after that. She was in her early 80s, and she had a lot of physical problems. She had arthritis in her hands, and she one difficulty after another. And I got to speak to her on a Saturday. She called and we talked for a long time, and I told her that we were going to be in Charlotte, would like to meet with her and take her to dinner. And then we got a call the next day and said, Mom has taken a gun and she has shot herself and she is dead. And you know, that hurt so badly. It hurt because I knew that even as we were talking, she was trying to find something to hold on to. And apparently she was overwhelmed by everything. You know, I wonder how many people feel exactly the same way as the struggles of life increase. You know, as we find that there are more and more difficulties and problems, and, you know, is this worth it? Is it worth it to continue? And you see, it's to these very people that Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. It's so clear and so straightforward. You know, if you're a Buddhist, then Buddha tells you that there is a fourfold path to peace through enlightenment. If you're a Muslim, Mohammed says there are five pillars of peace through submission. Many in our 21st century mentality today are looking for self-help, 10 steps to finding peace. Now, you can go into any bookstore right now and find a whole shelf full of 10 different ways or 15 ways or whatever to finding peace. Instead, Jesus just simply says, come to me. Come to me. And that simple promise shows that he has the power. He alone has the power to sort things out in our lives and to help us understand his love and his mercy and his purpose so that we can have peace ourselves. But how does he do it? How does he do this? You see, it's so interesting the way that he shares it. He says this in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. You know, the yoke in history has always been associated with work. It's always meant work. You know, we have oxen who have a double yoke. We have individuals, for instance, you've seen pictures of men and women who are carrying buckets of water, and they have a yoke across their shoulders, and the buckets are hanging down, and they're walking, and that's a yoke. But that yoke always meant labor. It always meant work. And so you might ask, well, Jesus, if you're telling us to take your yoke, is this something else that we have to do? Is this something that we have to work at in our lives? No. You see, he explained that. Jesus said that our work was to trust in the Lord, was to believe in him. If you have your Bibles there, look at John chapter 6, verse 29. And the disciples were asking Jesus about this. And Jesus said this, verse 29. He answered them and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You see, that's why Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. I know that you're struggling. I know that your life isn't easy. I know that you have physical problems. I know that you have emotional problems. I know that you have divisions in your family. I know that all these things are hitting you. And then on top of that, you're afraid about the future. What am I going to do if they cancel Medicare? If they take away our Social Security benefits? What are we going to do? Jesus says, come to me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for his people. Come to me. And then he also says, and learn from me. Come to me and take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Well, what do we learn about Jesus? You know, we learn that whatever situation he was in, Jesus was never flustered. He was never put upon. There were times when Jesus reacted, but it was in fulfillment of Scripture, like cleansing the temple. But when Jesus was being harassed by the Pharisees or individuals who were trying to trap him, he never responded in kind. Learn from me. And then Jesus reveals his true heart to men. And I want to share this with you. There's a book. It's called Gentle and Lowly. Gentle and Lowly. And it's by Dane Ortlund. And John and Betty told me that Dane Ortlund was at Sing 2021, and they actually purchased this book. It's a shame because they could have gotten one free here. Okay. This is Gentle and Lowly. And we have enough copies for everybody here today. And as you leave, I want you to take a copy of this book. You know, and not one per couple, because sometimes husbands and wives read differently. But take a book, each one of you, take a book. And I urge you, I encourage you to read the first chapter. Read chapter 1, because it talks about the heart of our Savior, the heart of Jesus. And you know, we think about who he was and about what he did. And, you know, we think that, well, Jesus was kind and he was merciful, that these were actions of Jesus. But the truth is that this is who Jesus was. Jesus didn't try to be this way. This is who he was. This is who the Messiah is, as a reflection of our Heavenly Father, that he is merciful, that he is kind, that he is loving. He's gentle and meek. He's lowly in heart. You see, this was a messianic prophecy that was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus himself makes reference to this. This is Matthew 12, and I'm going to read verses 17 to 20. And it says this: "This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, 'Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory.'" You see, and it was showing the heart of Jesus. This is the only time in all of Scripture where Jesus actually reveals his heart, when he says, "Come to me, take my yoke upon me, for I am meek and I am humble." That's who he really is. So what's the result? If we take him at his word, you know, we've got this written invitation, "Come to me." So if we take Jesus at his word, what's the result? What's going to happen? He says, "And you will find rest for your souls." The truth is, our souls only find rest when we have hope. Without hope, there is no rest. Without Jesus, there is no rest. In fact, Isaiah chapter 57 tells us that the ungodly are like the storm-tossed sea, always churning up refuse. If that's not a description of our society today, I don't know what is. And it's easy for us to look everywhere and to see all this and to be so agitated and so stirred up inside that we have no rest, we have no peace. And at that moment, Jesus says, "Come to me. I know you're struggling here. I know the problems you're going through. Come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. I'll give you that peace." You know, the yoke of the enemy is very harsh. The yoke of the enemy is designed to weigh us down, to burden us, to cause us pain and misery and distrust. That's the yoke of the enemy. But Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." You know, in all of our lives, there aren't that many people that really care about us. If we're very fortunate, we could probably count on both hands the numbers of true friends we've really had in our lives. Some are in more favored position than others, but the average person, you could probably count the number of true friends on both hands. Jesus says, "Count me as one, because I care about you and because I love you. And my yoke is easy. My burden is light." You know, this morning we're going to remember the price that was paid for our salvation. The price that Jesus paid on Calvary. And it was all motivated by his love for his people, his love for us, his love for you, his love for me. We're going to remember the body that was broken We're going to remember the blood that was shed. And it's a time for us to renew our covenant with God. Now, covenant's not a word you hear all the time, but it just means our agreement that we enter into with God. And that is when God said, I will be your God and you'll be my people. And all the people said, yes, that's what we want. We want a God who loves us and a God who protects us and a God who leads us as our shepherd. Yes. Yeah, we'll agree. We make covenant with you. And that covenant was sealed. In the New Testament, it was sealed with the bread that was broken. It was sealed with the wine that symbolized the blood that was shed. And so we do that today by faith. We come to the Lord by faith. We remember and we repent. Lord, we know that we've not lived as you want us to live, and so we're willing to surrender those things, to put them in your hands. We ask you to forgive us, to wipe it away, and to make us like new. And then we remember and we repent, and then we return. We return to our covenant with God and with one another. That's what this is all about today. Nothing magical about it or mystical about it. This is a time for us to remember. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you this day as those who are broken, as those who are needy. We don't come as the elite. We don't come as those who have all the answers. We come as those who need your presence. And Lord, we ask this morning that you would forgive us of our sin, that you would help us to repent and to come back to you, to return to you with all of our heart as our Lord and as our God. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come this morning, that you would be with us and strengthen us and help us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 274. Please stand and we'll sing this together, number 274, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.